your progress. See Surplus Store, corner Peebles Drive, North 24th Street.
Welcome to the Cop Shop with FPD. I'm Georgette Allen, Public Information Officer for the Farmington Police Department, and I'm here with my co-host and irritant, Chief Steve Hebby.
Always
Chief,
good to see you again,
Chief,
Georgette.
Chief, you're annoying me already today. I'm hungry. We're here. I'm telling you, don't poke the bear.
I'm looking up a picture of a delicious steak right now that I can show you, leave you staring.
I'm so hungry. I feel like I'm going to faint.
Oh, my. I know, you put in your traditional half hour of work this morning, and now you're famished.
Hey, I'm here working hard for you, Chief.
Yes. Well, I think we've got a good show today. We're going to talk about a couple of things, but one main topic will be police video and body cam, which is a controversial topic sometimes in law enforcement. Controversial from the officer's perspective, controversial from the community's perspective. It's something we have here, and we've had... Since the fall of 2013, we've had body cameras. We've had in-car video since like 2005 or 6.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Quite a while. And it's something that the FPD is looking in our budget process to see if we can put together a new system. So the system we have right now is kind of cobbled together. The body cameras aren't integrated into the in-car video and don't work the same as a comprehensive system that would allow when you turn on the in-car video, it activates the body cameras and vice versa. So the issues associated with body cameras from a logistics standpoint, which makes it so expensive, is all the storage of all that video. Police departments never had that before, and now we have it. And there's IPRA laws, and police have to maintain those.
And for how long we maintain them?
Yeah.
Under the law, it's...
At least 5 years.
5 years, right?
Depends on the topic. Depends on what happened in the call. But we have been maintaining all of that video since we started in the fall of 2013. We do lots of IPRA requests. We discover that stuff out. So it hits the department in a certain way behind the scenes, but... What we're going to talk about a lot more today is what happens when the officers have their cameras on or don't have their cameras on as it goes in their context with citizens. And I think we've seen over the last couple of weeks here a number of high-profile incidents that kind of show the value of having them. If you're an officer, some of these show the value of having them. If you're a citizen, some of these show the value of having them. So although it's a controversial topic, it's one that's here. It's not just in Farmington. It's across the country. Departments have them. And so we're going to run down a few incidents and talk about them a little bit.
Sure. Including one of our own where we had kind of exonerated the officer of what somebody was claiming he had done. So
yes.
And posted it, shared it all over social media.
And it traveled fast.
It did travel fast. So while we love social media, it can be a double-edged sword because rumors can quickly spread. And so we get on there and we try to dispel any of those rumors. But in this case, you know, the officer's in-car camera, I think is what we used on that one,
yes.
actually saved and was able to show everybody what the truth was behind that one. So but we'll get to that one. So I found quite a few of them this morning online.
Yes.
And I'm sure that there's plenty more, but these are the ones that were kind of highlighted. And one of the scariest ones where this woman it was a blatant lie on there. It happened in Texas. Woman falsely accused a state trooper of sexually assaulting her during a traffic stop. Look, are you tweeting? I see that popping up on my phone.
I'm doing multiple things.
Look at you multitasker. And they say you really can't multitask, but look at you go. You're chewing gum, you're breathing, you're on
I'm
the radio,
to you
and you're tweeting.
Halfway,
I'm
guess.
So proud of you, Chief. So proud. And who taught you how to tweet?
I don't remember.
Wow. Anyway.
I think Nick from the college did.
No.
So
anyway,
she accused a trooper on a traffic stop of just straight out sexually assaulting her,
yeah,
and then propositioning her to let her go if they went someplace else and had a sexual encounter. I think she was arrested in the course of that, and that's why she alleged the trooper was offering to make the charges go away.
Mm-hmm.
But that turned out to be prematurely believed by at least her attorney's office and some bloggers. So the attorney's office named the trooper and put out all sorts of information about how bad this was, how appalling it was.
Without checking any video footage, to me that would be like the first thing you do, the go-to. Okay, your client comes in and alleges
decision.
This. You know, okay, as the attorney, I think I'm calling the agency and saying, hey, I need that.
Yeah.
That video.
Well, and for an attorney's office to do it was shocking. And the attorneys, as soon as the department released the video, which didn't substantiate any of those allegations, the attorney's office issued a pretty sharp rebuke of their own client and apologized to the trooper. But, you know, honestly, they'd be awful quick to sue the police department or sue the trooper if X, Y, or Z happened, and then they do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and in this case, it got even uglier because there was another trooper who had the same name, different middle name. And I was reading an article. His dad said he's been getting death threats. They've been trying to get
so much damage.
Oh, yeah.
Done. And even if they remove
multiple
that,
families.
So they take that offline. It's already out there.
It's already
everybody
out there.
Knows. Once you put something out on the line, out online, it's out there for good.
Yeah.
People screenshot it. They're sharing it. They're, you know, the news is already scooping it up as a story.
It was shocking to see it. And there was a blogger that had grabbed it and was spreading it all over, and then. He didn't, to my knowledge, he didn't ever apologize for doing it. He just kind of distanced himself as it came out that nothing really had happened, that none of the comments that were being claimed were made. So in that case, there's an excellent example of why you have, in this day and age, and sometimes officers don't understand it. When officers focus so much on officer safety, and we talk about officer safety in the profession a lot, the different tools that we've got from pepper spray to empty hand control to your weapon to your taser. But there's other kinds of officer safety, and that's career safety. In this case, because the officer had his camera and could show definitively, you know, what was being alleged didn't happen. Absent that, what are you going to do? I mean, the allegation's just hanging out there. And in this day and age, it spreads on social media and you're just beat like a drum.
Yeah.
But he had the video and it was career survival for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, for the other poor guy who just had the same name, I mean, I don't know what you do about that.
I don't know. That's too bad. So
happens to be a police officer.
Yeah, well, and you think when this is spreading, you know, even though, you know, they remove it. Like I said, it's out there and they put something out saying, oh, this was not correct. Not everybody's getting that. And so you're still going to have these people who are believing that this was accurate information or, you know, whatever. So it's unfortunate.
So anybody out there that does have questions about the topic of police cameras and body cameras, they can feel free to message us on Facebook and we'll put your questions out on the radio today, and we'll try our best to address them one way or the other. I don't know if we can answer them, but we'll certainly try and address them. But use the FPD Facebook page and message us with any questions or comments you have about today's topic, which, like we know, it's a more controversial topic. It draws emotions from all sides on this. But we have several incidents here today that we'll be talking about.
Sure. So another one I found, and this one was just as appalling. The accusations were a little bit different, but the individual that it came from was just shocking to me because it's the president of the South Carolina chapter of the NAACP. But what was more shocking to me is this individual is also a pastor. And so he alleged that an officer accused him of having drugs. This was at a traffic stop as well, I believe. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Asked him if he was what he was doing in the neighborhood, threatened to put him in jail. And then the pastor said it was all because I was driving a Mercedes-Benz and going home in a nice neighborhood. So again, this is another one where we looked at body cam footage and they found out that it didn't coincide with what the individual was saying at all.
No, and the police chief in, it was Timmonsville, South Carolina, police chief Billy Brown, was awful sharp, was not happy, and flat called the pastor out and said he was shocked that a pastor and a head of the NAACP would come out and tell a blatant lie.
Sure.
I saw some of the news reports actually had some of the other members of the NAACP coming out and distancing themselves from this gentleman's comments and flat saying that, you know, it didn't happen. What he said happened did not happen, and that the officer actually conducted himself appropriately. There's another, it's another career survival one. In this day and age, you know, it just isn't like it. When I started copping, you know, we didn't even have audio recorders. We were just starting to get some audio recorders on us from time to time, but you'd have to buy them yourself, and you stored all the little cassette tapes and things like that.
Sure. Ooh, cassette tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Really old.
Little cassette tapes in the early 90s. But honestly, people weren't as inclined to make stuff up about you. And when they did, there wasn't the vehicle to transport it all over the city, you know. But now they go home and they throw it on Twitter, or they throw it on Instagram or Facebook, and it is everywhere. And like you said, you can't even get it back. So just from an officer safety perspective, you wind up having to have the cameras just to keep yourself safe.
Sure. So, Chief, you said, you know, people weren't as inclined to make up stuff back in your very old day.
Tragically.
What do you think the change is? Why people do that? Do you think, you know, it's that, I mean, I have this theory that people nowadays don't necessarily own their behaviors as well. It's like they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to acknowledge, hey, I did something wrong. Or do you think part of it is that, you know, it's kind of that agenda, we're, you know, out to get the police or whoever, you know, it's, I mean, there was a shift obviously there. What do you think it is that...
You know, I think you're right about some of it. I think it's not one thing. You know, I probably attribute some of it to just our, you know, we get the reality TV culture. Mm-hmm. People love drama. They love to be at the center of drama.
Sure.
So the one that we'll talk about with FPD, the guy isn't even involved in the case. He just takes a picture of our officer and he throws it on social media and paints himself as a hero for interdicting our racist officer as he was beating an individual, and none of it happened.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just the drama of it.
Yeah.
But back in the 1990s, although you would have people that would make allegations against you, it was something that we were worried about too as officers. It wasn't the volume of it, and then the devastating consequences of it just weren't there.
Mm-mm.
You know, so even if you did have it happen, it didn't carry everywhere, and then it wouldn't be on social media for years, where you know you can't get it off. Maybe they'd report something to internal affairs, and you could show different, or you couldn't show different, and it just was left unsustained. But today people are just, I think they like the drama. I think they like being involved in, you know, look at me, and boy, look at me get you allegations fast. Otherwise, honestly, look at the one with the pastor. Well, why would you even comment?
Well, I
don't think
the
he got a ticket.
Look at me thing. Look at you. You look like an idiot because you lied about something.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that do to your credit? Here, he's the president of that chapter and a pastor. So how do you go into your congregation?
That's a tough one.
On Sunday, after this hits all over, that you made this up, that you lied.
Yeah. And probably for both these folks, you know, I don't know. I'll have to do some follow up on it. But it's, you know, then they come out and they ask for forgiveness, and I get that, you know. And actually, I am a pretty forgiving guy. I don't know why you do something like this in the first place. In particular, the first one about the sexual assaults and stuff like that is just disgusting allegations.
Well, it makes it difficult for people who are really victimized.
That's exactly right.
Because then you're questioning, is this person making it up? Do they have an underlying agenda?
Right. But, you know, while people want grace on their end when they do something stupid like this, and frankly, this isn't a mistake. When you do something consciously, it's stupid. It's not a mistake. But... when the officer does something, you know, we're not as quick to give the officer grace. You know, coming out and saying, you know, I'm sorry, doesn't really work for most of our officers when they get into trouble. So, you know, I guess I would like to see a little less of the rancor. And since some of this stuff here, like you just said, really hurts police community relations, because A, there's people out there that believe it. You never can get the message out fast enough to say it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, It does damage legitimate victims who actually do have
Absolutely.
Problems with the police. And those problems exist. And we have an internal affairs section, and we've talked about it here, Georgette.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. We work hard to keep our department clean and maintain high standards. And sometimes officers do screw up. But these kind of incidents only detract from the legitimate ones that are out there and that need to be addressed.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So moving on to our next one, there was another one in Texas, Harker Heights. Another woman accused police of brutally and wrongful arrest after a New Year's Eve party. That alcohol gets you in trouble.
It can. I don't know that for sure. But.
But video and audio evidence indicated that the woman was injured before encountering the officer through another altercation with her boyfriend. And her boyfriend's wife and others? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that just entangled web we weave. That story just gets better there. So, and then another case where, you know, her attorney dropped her after that came out. But again, I question, it's just, I find it perplexing that they wouldn't check on this before they just release it out there on social media.
No, and I'm surprised. We have not had that happen here in Farmington. You know, the attorneys... No. The attorneys appear to know, you know, I'm going to do an IPRA. I'm going to get the video. I'm going to see what it shows.
For myself, absolutely.
And then we'll take it from there. I mean, that's just prudent, frankly.
Yeah, so you kind of have egg on your face if you take on a client and start speaking. I mean,
and a couple of these ones, the attorneys do have egg on their face. There's just no nice way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been several here that we've talked about so far where, you know, the body cam footage. Backed up the officer and undercut the false allegation against the officer. But we've had some that it's murkier.
Mm-hmm.
And one that is a little while ago, we talked about it a little bit a couple of shows back, and that's in Sacramento, California. And that was the shooting of a black male who was alleged to be breaking into vehicles. And the police chased him, and when they confronted him, he approached the officers. He was holding something in his hand. That something turned out to be a cell phone, mm-hmm. apparently. The officers fired and shot him. And what you saw in Sacramento was several days of rioting and demonstrations against the department. I think that it's settled down a little bit at the moment. I haven't seen any more reports on rioting. But the video was less conclusive about how that encounter should have gone, you know,
sure.
Which actually is not unrealistic. That is the way sometimes it goes. People can see events from their own perspective and make a decision as to what should have happened. But in this case, it actually is on video. It didn't either absolve the officers or convict the officers. I think it...
Are they still working on it, though?
I think they're still working on it.
It's still going. I was going to say that one was pretty yes. new. So
now that camera system, and there's many different camera systems. That camera system was one I had not seen before. The officers actually had the ability to mute themselves, so they could press a button and it muted their video. Apparently, from what I was seeing in the early stages of it. Of that incident as it was unfolding with the public, the officer had muted it, and that seemed to be causing a lot of consternation
yeah.
and controversy in the community that the officers had muted themselves.
Sure.
And you know whether or not that's a good idea, I guess I won't comment on their situation. Just in general, probably I wouldn't want us doing that. It doesn't look good at the end of the day. It opens you up to people thinking that there's a grand conspiracy going on
sure.
when, you know, they may have just been talking about how stressed they were and what just happened and they were upset.
Yeah.
So I'd like to point out
our cameras don't do that. So
our cameras
body
don't
cams,
do that.
It's on or off.
It is on or off.
On or off. So.
And our policy is they stay on.
Yes.
That wouldn't have been the case here. So that was just an interesting, sometimes technology almost gives you too much of an ability to do things. You can get yourself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a shooting that maybe would have been semi-controversial becomes more so
sure.
Because of that.
But you made a good point. Sometimes it's inconclusive. You don't get the whole picture
right.
from video. And I don't think that the public always understands that, though. So there's a video. This one's older, and I can't remember where it was from. You've probably seen it out there. YouTube it. And this involved, there's two different officers. And so an armed suspect, he's coming around a corner. So you see body cam footage originally when it was first released. And then later they came out with the other officer's footage. So from the officer who's front on facing the suspect tells him to put down the weapon. So he has a gun in his hand. What you can't see from that video is he's reaching back for another gun. And so the officer over here behind him ends up shooting him. And so then there's this big oh my God, you shot this guy. So when you look at the other video, you can see what that officer was seeing. So he, in this hand, which this officer's focus on, he's he's putting the gun down, but mm-hmm. he's grabbing another one out mm-hmm. of his pants. So mm-hmm. so again, if you're only looking at footage from the one video,
right? Right. Which in some cases, that's all you've got.
Yeah.
So when absolutely. You have just a one officer on scene, you'll only have that one view of it. And you could see that in our most recent shooting here, where it wasn't the officer that the subject charged and had a knife in his hand. His body cam footage was, because it got so close so fast, you couldn't really see a whole lot.
It is.
You couldn't really make out the knife until towards the very end, I think. But we had another officer that had his body cam on. He was standing several feet back, and that would allow you to see, and so we were able to show that footage of it.
Sure.
But when you only have one officer on scene, oftentimes, in particular in close everything. Encounters, yeah. it doesn't catch everything.
Yeah. Well, and they're shaky, and they're moving around fast, or you've yeah. got officer, you know, or it comes off in a struggle.
Yes.
And then you're not catching everything.
Or gets broken in a struggle, yeah, which happens
exactly.
as well. So,
exactly.
I mean, it's not a panacea. It doesn't solve every problem, but certainly the advent of cameras has changed policing. And honestly, for the departments that don't have cameras, and I understand all the logistical reasons behind the scenes and the cost as to why you might not, the truth is these days so many of the public have cameras, and that's called your little cell phone. And they're videoing it and they're uploading it, and you know, so from my perspective as a chief, you're better off having your own camera system. Now it doesn't always show everything, and there's problems with it and stuff can break down, but you got to figure most people are going to have a camera. If we figure most people are going to have a gun, most people have a camera right in their hands.
Well, exactly, and then they're in control of it.
Right.
So whatever video,
however much
they,
of it they show, whenever
yeah,
they turn it on,
exactly. Or if they have an underlying agenda, you might not be seeing the whole thing. So
yes.
it's important. You know, I agree. I'm glad our officers have the cameras. I'm glad we have the in-car, the body cams. Happy we'll be upgrading the system hopefully soon. And have something that's a little bit better. So
why don't we take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more on this subject. Feel free to message us on Facebook with any questions or comments you have, and we'll read them out here on air. We'd be glad to address them.
And we're back on the Cop Shop with FPD, Georgette Allen. I'm the still hungry PIO.
Boy.
I'm starving today, Chief. I'm so hungry I would eat some of those little cricket chips that Nick brought in, and I got you to eat on the air. That was awesome. The look on your face was priceless.
That was just terrible.
I could tell you just wanted to like spit it out as you were chewing. It was funny.
You know what I've been thinking about lately?
What?
A juicy steak.
That's not
just
right.
Just delicious. Really?
I'm
as you're talking about, I know.
I'm
and so just imagine a juicy steak.
You overwork me.
It's cooked.
I don't have
just
time to
eat. Just to perfection.
Eat.
Oh, I'd love that. Remember, and then we could have little potatoes. I mean, they're just delicious too. And a glass of wine. It'd be, I guess you can't have any food. So, okay, let's continue on with the show.
So mean. All right, we're back talking about
you
body
let me eat crickets.
What?
You let me eat crickets.
Let you? I conned you into it. I completely manipulated you into that. Oh, try these, Chief.
Yeah.
I think they're like some vegan snack.
Yes.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It was way funny.
No, you're hilarious.
I am. Whatever. You'd miss me if I left.
So
life
we had
at the PD would not be as exciting.
We're on the verge of finding out, believe me.
All right, so we were talking about
body cameras,
in-car
video.
In-car cameras before we went on the break. We want to remind our listeners again, if you have any questions or just comments, whatever, about our topic today, you can private message us on our Facebook page.
So one of the first videos, which I watched often when I was a young officer, because it was stunning.
And when was that?
in the early 90s. But it was from Texas DPS. I believe it was a Texas State Trooper. And his name was Lunsford, if I'm remembering it right. And that tells you know, it made an impression on me, and it was so long ago. And he had stopped three guys in a car, and he had a habit, you know, so we were learning the officer safety tips from it. He had a habit of not liking backup on him. You know, he wanted to establish rapport with the subjects involved. He'd get consent to search. He was huge at finding drugs in vehicles. And he stopped these three males at night, and actually another cop had driven by, and he kind of waved at him, and the cop had driven off. The three males are speaking Spanish. I don't know that he spoke Spanish. And they get out of the car kind of at the same time, and he tries to control them a little bit, or he wanted only one of them out of the car at one time.
Sure.
And he suspected they were carrying narcotics, and they were. And so eventually what happens is all of them are out of the car. They're all smaller. He's a big cop. Which probably played into his belief in, you know, in his own ability to overcome. You know, and honestly, police officers are, they do have the ability to see themselves as invincible sometimes. And so he was out there with three subjects who are all out of the car. One of them moves closer to the other one and makes a comment in Spanish, which apparently he didn't understand, and it meant we're going to get him. And they attack him. They weren't armed. They attack him, all three of them. They're beating him, kicking him right on video on the side of the road. It was just stunning to watch it happen. He tries to fight him off. He is a big guy. He tries to fight him off, but they're all over him. They take his gun and they shoot him right there along the road.
No.
The only thing that catches him is they had it on video, so they had the license plate and everything like that. So when the backup finally did come, he didn't respond to calls. And you can see that video, you know, if you YouTube it, I believe it's Lunsford. It was like 1990, 1991 in Texas. And it's just a stunning video to watch because you're watching a man in the final moments of his life, and he doesn't know it yet. He's just doing the job that every other cop does. He's making a traffic stop. They had a large amount of marijuana in there that the police eventually find the car, and they capture all three of them. I think they put him on death row, if I'm not mistaken. But it was... one of the first real police officers using that wasn't body camera, using in-car video. And so you really hadn't seen a whole lot of officers actually dying in the job. It just wasn't something we saw. We knew that officers were killed, but you didn't see it like this. It was very, very sobering to watch as a younger officer how fast things can go bad. Mm-hmm. And he really wasn't doing anything. He was polite to him. He'd established rapport. He'd got him to open the trunk. He'd found the marijuana. I mean, everything was progressing. And then he's attacked and just killed. So it was brutal.
Yeah. That's awful. Okay, so moving on to our next one. Georgia.
Georgia had an unusual one.
It was unusual. It was a fire captain and another fire department employee accusing a police officer of being hostile, threatening him during a traffic stop. And it was over an expired license tag. So the fire captain, I think, is the one, and this is a sergeant, who it looks like pulled him over, wrote the ticket. And they said, you know, so the fire captain and the other employee said that they were going to turn it in or whatever. And
they're going to call the director of public safety.
Yeah.
Call your
director,
boss.
Call the boss. So I almost felt like reading this one this morning, I almost felt like this was a case of, hey, we're on the same team. You should cut me some, you know, some slack or whatever.
Professional
courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, again, I'm assuming, but it kind of feels like they were mad because the officer was doing his job.
Yeah. No, it was a shame because it got to be 2-on-1. Mm-hmm. So the one makes an allegation and the other fire employee backs up that allegation. And apparently they must not have been from that town because they didn't grasp that the officer was going to have it on video. And the video does not support that version of events. They actually fired one of the firemen, and he was later reinstated, I suppose, through a grievance process.
Well, and the woman, I guess, she was charged with filing a false statement as well. So, and she had to do 2 years of probation and a $500 fine and write a letter of apology. So.
No, so that was an ugly one, too. But it does go. That is something that I'm sure our officers today get. You know, I know the chief. You know, I'm going to call. I'm going to call your chief, and we actually heard it even in Anchorage, which was a big city. You know, that I'm going to call the chief in the morning. I mean, that is an effort definitely to get officers to back down and not write tickets or not make arrests. So it is a stressful job for officers, and you know, in this case, the camera clearly showed, you know, the officer wasn't doing anything wrong, and that the people were trying to manipulate him.
Well, and how many professions do you get criticized or people are verbally abusive to you just for doing your job? You know, you're out there, you're pulling people. And I know people don't like getting tickets, but I mean, in reality, you're doing something. You're speeding, or whether you ran a red light or whatever.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I mean, there's officer discretion, but when it comes down to it, you know, you're breaking the law. You get a ticket. Just stop.
You know, not every officer is polite and respectful, but most are. And I've been stopped too. Nobody likes to be stopped by the police. But honestly, I haven't had an officer act inappropriate in the context that I've had with them. And usually, you know, they're right. I was speeding.
Oh, I know.
You know, so, in fact, it wasn't even usually. It's every time
I was speeding. Of course, you were speeding. I got pulled over one time going down to Albuquerque, and it was I was going down there for a meeting or a conference or something like that. And just work at the police department and around officer, you know what I mean? But just get, and of course I get all nervous or whatever. They're probably thinking, oh my gosh, but I'm sure everybody does, but I don't like to be in trouble. And I'm like fumbling the whole time. He's like, are you going to get me your registration? And I'm like, I can't find it because you're so nervous because you don't want to get a ticket.
And actually, it's a good thing for officers to be stopped from time to time, because that is the way the public generally views it. You know, most people don't want to be in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't trying to do anything wrong. Maybe they were, a little lead-footed. But so it's a good reminder when you're sitting there and the blue and red lights are going and you're the person, you're the citizen sitting there in the car. Yeah, it's not so funny now, is it?
Right. So. Well, and there's a bigger picture behind the running traffic as well, too. A lot of times this is how we're catching other crimes out there.
Yes.
When officers are out there doing their job and pulling people over for traffic violations. And, you know, we trying to keep the people who are running drugs through our community out. And, you know, when criminals know that we're out there, hey, they're always out there, you know, speed traps, whatever they have going on out there, they're pulling people over. So let's
avoid this area. 550 is a very dangerous road. We have lots of collisions on that road, lots of DUIs on that road. So you want law enforcement out there. We certainly don't want it to be the wild, wild west, where anything goes, especially on a road like that. But that doesn't mean it's pleasant when you actually do get stopped. And I get that. I do.
All right. So moving on, we had some other ones. Did we go? We didn't talk about the Alabama one, did we? So,
no.
This one was a Facebook post out of Alabama, a claim that a police officer had beaten a man, quote, half to death and pushed him off a bridge after a traffic stop. And this just puts an image in my head. I mean, can you really even, it just paints this picture. Video was released. Police contradicted the allegations, of course. So what had actually happened, so the driver, his probation had been revoked and he had other felony warrants. And so, I don't know, it was just that the whole thing was made up.
Well, something happened, and I mean, the officers were trying to figure out who the guy was. He had given him a false name. They eventually figure out that he's got a warrant out for his arrest. When they approach the car, the subject takes off, and he jumps over the bridge. He's trying to get away from the cops. It looks like the officers eventually apprehended him, but there was no beating. The officers didn't throw him over the bridge. So, very unusual allegation. Mm-hmm. But
they did use a stun gun on him. So
they had to use a stun gun on him.
When he wouldn't comply with the orders, and that was the only thing. But the whole, beating him half to death, throwing him off a bridge, it never occurred. So
now, you know, during the Katrina flooding, there were reports of officers killing people on a bridge in New Orleans. And eventually they actually convicted some officer of doing just that.
Really?
So this is an interesting allegation. In the Alabama area, I imagine they were aware of that allegation.
Okay. Yeah, possibly. I hadn't heard that. How did I miss that? I'm going to have to Google that.
It was a long time coming as they investigated. It took quite a while. So.
Wow, that's unfortunate. So we talked a lot about how the videos exonerate officers and dispel rumors. A lot of times people are just absolutely making up that aren't true. But then we have, you know, instances.
Like we're seeing in Milwaukee.
Yeah, like we're seeing in Milwaukee.
So I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wauwatosa specifically, a suburb of Milwaukee. So I watched that community, and their department's a pretty big department. They've been mostly a pretty good department, especially over the last several years. They had a good chief, and Ed Flynn was chief until just last year. Now they've gone through a chief change, but really it's been a pretty good department. They have not had the DOJ consent decree issues that you see further south in Chicago. But in this case, they have video of their officers engaged in a confrontation with, as it turns out, a player for the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's never going to be good.
That's never going to be good.
Celebrity.
But they don't know that, apparently, at least it, not initially. And that video was just making the rounds, so anybody who's a sports fan has probably seen it now on CBS Sportsline and some of the other sites that talk sports, because the Milwaukee Buck player is suing the department. Mm-hmm. The department released the video. It did not look like he was a physical threat. He wasn't, I don't think, being cooperative with the officers, but they used a taser on him, and the whole thing had started with a parking violation, and then it degenerated into a pissing contest, as it were, and that ended in a tasing, and that ended, according to the chief, in discipline for the officers involved in that case, and now an ongoing lawsuit. But the video did not look good, and the chief, came out and said it did not look good. The mayor said, it was concerning. So that's the other side of it, is unfortunately. Sometimes officers do the wrong thing, and the camera allows us to hold folks accountable,
sure.
Make sure that if they are doing the wrong thing, and really we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be using force on citizens that don't deserve it. We aren't needing to use the force, and then we wind up using it because we get into an argument. So that's a shame. It's a shame for those officers. It's a shame for the MPD, because that kind of thing goes national. It didn't take long, and it was nationwide.
I don't know. It was on every news channel.
So. You're not even a sports fan, and you were aware of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's because it was on. I watch the Today Show every morning, I have it on while I'm getting ready, and so they had it on there.
Did they really on the Today Show?
Oh yeah. It's been everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So
that is a mess. You can find it online if you just Google Milwaukee Bucks and Milwaukee Police, and you'll find the video. You can watch it for yourself, but it isn't a good one. And so on that part of the camera system, for the community's perspective and for transparency, and we can see what the officers are doing. We want to see what the officers are doing, and in this case, the officers did the wrong thing.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you while you're talking. So I'm looking at this. We just got, so it wasn't on our Facebook page, but it looks like we got a question.
A question.
What? Yes, and look who it's from.
Oh, yes.
Shout out to her. Okay, so what happens when an officer... and now Scott's texting me. Scott Micklin sent it. It's not from him, but...
Okay.
So what happens when an officer comes into a home where someone has... committed suicide? Do they keep the camera on? What about privacy? That's actually a really good question.
It is.
And we kind of talked about that privacy issue before, because there was a big push from the ACLU to have body cameras, and now they're kind of backing off.
They are.
Correct, about it, because of this issue.
Yes. So that is one we talked about at the beginning of the year when we started our radio program. And that's the privacy issues surrounding. So now you have a government official that you've called over to your house, and it doesn't even have to be anything as gruesome as a suicide. It could be something just like, I fell in the bathtub and hit my head.
Yeah.
And I called for the police or for rescue, and they show up with body cameras. So now I have government officials that I called for help in my home videoing me. And here in New Mexico in particular, the IPRA laws, which is a Public Records Inspection Act, they are very liberal. The police department will turn over almost all of that video to anyone who asks for it.
Yeah, there are only a few circumstances where we're allowed to deny turning over video or reports or what have you. So
that's been something we have talked about, and I've talked about it at Chiefs Association meetings, that the IPRA laws were written with a certain philosophy, and I support that philosophy. However, technology has outstripped when it was written. And I'm not sure you really do want, in the case of a suicide, would be a terrible one. It's not a crime, absolutely. So that would not be one that we would be able to not release. There's certain times, if you're accused of a crime and you're not charged, then we don't have to release the footage.
Yeah, we don't release the person's name.
But in the case of a suicide, that isn't the case. It would be a picture of somebody hanging there or having shot themselves, and that could be taken and put on YouTube, and to show that it isn't just a nebulous allegation, that actually was being done in the state of Washington, which also has pretty liberal IPRA laws, and there was a group that was grabbing the video from the police departments and posting them online of dead bodies and things like that.
Oh yeah, that's not new. There was a site, golly, this was a long time ago. It was called Rotten.com. I don't even know if it exists anymore, but same thing. They were getting stuff, and I feel like some of it was maybe leaked stuff, but they had autopsies, children, and murder victims. I mean, it was gruesome. It's those like shock blogs. People, they're trying to, they're making money off of their YouTube videos or whatever. And
I'll always be somebody that supports the public's right to know. But I do think there's some decorum still left in our society. We don't always see it with social media and with reality TV. But honestly, the value of you seeing your neighbor's son hanging in the garage, I don't understand, and I don't support police having to release that kind of footage when we're there on official business conducting a death investigation.
There was actually a YouTuber. He has a big following. I can't remember his name. I'm not actually a huge YouTuber. I get on there once in a while. My husband's on there more than me, but yeah, I like some of the other platforms more. But anyway, it was all over the news. You've probably seen it. He was, I hope I don't get this wrong, he was over in a forest in, I want to say it's Japan. It's known for people go to commit suicide. And he just happened to come across somebody who had killed themselves. And he videoed it and put it out on his, and he got backlash. They took it down. I think YouTube was maybe punish him for a while. But again, people don't think before they put that stuff out. But he was, getting a whole lot of backlash,
really,
as he should.
It's just
completely
disgusting.
Inappropriate. Yeah, it is disgusting. So now he, of course, he's trying to do something to make up for it and provide education about the subject. And
I hadn't seen that one, but honestly, we have become, we're so quick to grab our cell phones and record stuff, where maybe once upon a time we'd actually jumped in and tried to help somebody. I got to get this recorded now. I get it when you're at a Packer
game. Somebody whose life's in danger, don't stop to help them.
When we're videoing the worst moments of people's lives and we think that's entertainment, that's a sad commentary for us.
I absolutely agree.
So,
all right.
We're at the end of a...
We are.
Was Scott texting you?
Scott, yeah. Well, Scott was texting because he sent that email, the question, over from Janet. Thanks, Janet. Shout out. I'm just going to shout out. Thanks, Janet. So he was texting to make sure we got it. So.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all I was doing. Well. But we're coming to the end of the show. So on our platform, we're going to share some information. As our listeners know, we're in the middle of a drought.
Well, it is approaching, isn't it?
Yes. And so, okay, thank you. So we are in stage one, which is voluntary, trying to get people to conserve water. So City of Farmington has a lot of information out on their pages, Facebook, and on their website at fmtn.org on ways that you can conserve water. I know you're conserving, right, Chief?
I am conserving.
You are.
Good. I am worried about the lack of snowpack that we had up in Colorado this winter, and I think it is going to be a long, hot summer for us.
It is. Yeah, it was so dry over the winter. So anyway, those tips you can find again at fmtn.org, and we'll just run over some of them. And help us out. Share that information out on your social media platforms. Do your due diligence and where you can, cutting use of water. In the garden, they're talking about using rain barrel to harvest rainwater from gutters. Of course, we don't have rain. Use rose head watering can instead of I think that that was, I think that's a typo on there that I just caught. Not my typo.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's to hosed water plants. I'm not sure. Add layers of plant material like bark or straw to the soil in your garden to help keep the sun off it. It retains more water. Fixing leaks in your home. And this one kind of shocked me. So checking for and repairing leaks around your home can easily save 8,000 gallons of water a year. That's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
That is a lot.
That is huge.
And shorter showers.
Shorter showers.
Not less showers, Georgette.
I was going to go there.
We got to work close together, and I, you know, I can't have you banned from the
from the department
from the room here. But shorter showers does help.
I have to break out the dry shampoo and use a little more these days.
I am definitely somebody that I do some of my best thinking in the shower. You know, so you're getting ready for your day, and you're kind of playing through, what do I have? What am I going to do? And I get some of my best ideas in there, but sometimes it takes more water than it should to come up with that idea.
You go. But so, then you get out and you forget the ideas, right?
No, I write them down.
While you're in the shower?
Well, I'll write out, you know, in the steam on my bathroom door.
Oh, wow.
You
know, let's
new PIO. I mean, something like that. It's easy to remember that, really.
Ah, funny guy.
But it is serious. The drought conditions are coming, and in the city's, you know, moving closer to stage two, I think, here in the next week or so.
Which is going to be, mandatory compliance then with water conservation. So,
and stage three actually involves some fines and, sanctions on you if you're not helping. So it really takes all of us to kind of participate, and we don't want to run out of water in Farmington. Like, the lake right now is in pretty good shape, but projections are it's going to go down fast if we don't start moving towards conserving some. So take a look at some of these tips. They are good tips. I take a look at them. I'm taking it serious.
All right. Is that it? That's all you got for us?
You know,
What were you going to say?
I was going to say you don't have to take as many showers when you don't do your mountain biking.
Oh, so that's true. All see? The more reason not to exercise.
There's an excuse not to go out and get injured mountain biking again. That one on your husband. Otherwise, I'd have to shower, and that would waste water.
Yeah, so. I don't want to waste water. No mountain biking, honey. No hiking.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in today. It was a good show, and we'll be back next week. And are we going to have any exciting, dramatic guests?
I don't know. It depends.
We're going to have another Where's the Chief contest soon.
We are.
That's coming up, so we'll have more information for you on our Facebook pages and Twitter on that. But we'll even have a special guest joining us for that one, so that'll be fun.
Yes. All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to go get some food, and I'm going to send you back to work.
No. You're buying me lunch.
See you next week on The Cop Shop.